We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Monday edition of College Sports Now. I am Stephen Hartzell. He is Matt Norlander from CBS Sports. He writes. He talks. He's on TV, CBS Sports HQ. For those of you that don't know, now you know. Norlander, a lot of college basketball over the weekend, which we will talk about. We will preview some games coming up in the early slate of this upcoming week. But listen, man, if you were a ranked team on Saturday, half of the top 25 just about lost on Saturday. Now, not all of those were against the spread upsets, okay? Mm-hmm. But a lot of ranked teams went down on Saturday. Pretty wild weekend, man.
Yeah. By the way, we're recording this, right, Hartzell? We're definitely recording this
I forgot to hit record, but we're only two minutes in. It could have been a lot worse the first time.
Just making sure, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
A very busy, noisy Saturday, and I'm gonna try not to repeat myself too much between this and Ion College Basketball.
Which is recorded on Sunday nights, right?
Sunday nights, yes.
I mean,
yes.
You guys are just, NFL playoffs don't mean anything to you? I guess, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, it's no big deal because, your team's not playing.
I can promise you this. If the Bears were playing in the playoffs, as hard as that is to envision, there would be no recording of any podcasts, 30 minutes before that game, a Bears game would start and 30 minutes post. So, we always do a Sunday night episode, and we wanted to get it out there to people as quickly as we possibly could. So, what I said on the Sunday one, but you can definitely identify with this, is that I think it's become a common trope in college football over the past X number of years, where usually in September, maybe early October, you look at a weekend slate and you're like, man, there's one game between two teams that are ranked, and there might be three appetizing games overall on this entire slate. Like, it just doesn't look that good. And then you check in at 11 o'clock on Saturday night, and lo and behold, you've seen, five insane games with three crazy upsets.
Carnage.
Yeah. You sometimes get a little bit of a solid done by the sports gods, and it's kind of what we had here with the games over the weekend. I will mention off the top, though, that there was a disturbing story, a serious story that emerged. This story broke. I want to say, I didn't realize it broke as we were finishing the podcast, but I think it broke in the final 5 minutes as we were recording early on Sunday night for Ion College Basketball. Alabama junior Darius Miles was arrested and charged Sunday along with another young man, 20-year-old Michael Lynn Davis, with capital murder. There was a 23-year-old woman who was shot and killed inside a car in downtown Tuscaloosa in the early morning of Sunday. I think it was approximately around 1:45 a.m. Darius Miles has been, he's been a reserve player for Alabama since he has been there. A stunning, shocking, appalling story According to police, neither the woman, the victim in the murder, or the alleged murder, or Michael Lynn Davis, the other suspect aside from Miles, attended or were affiliated with the university. I think they were just happened to be in the downtown Tuscaloosa area. Police also said after reviewing camera footage, it looked to be the result of a minor argument. Just a horrible, horrible, horrible story with all of this. And it's all the more relevant because Alabama is a top five team in the country.
Yep.
Nate Oates still hasn't put out a quote since this happened. We are recording College Sports Now here on early Monday morning. Nate Oates is actually scheduled to have media availability, I think, on Monday afternoon. So I don't know how much he's even going to say about this. Darius Miles is off the team. I think Alabama said in its statement, I'll read you what the Alabama statement was real quick here. The University of Alabama's utmost priority is the safety and well-being of the campus community. We are grieved by the incident that occurred near campus last night and extend our deepest condolences to the victim's family and friends. We are grateful for the quick and thorough response of law enforcement and emergency response teams, and we will continue to fully support the ongoing investigation. We were made aware of the recent charge against student athlete Darius Miles. He has been removed from campus and is no longer a member of the Alabama men's basketball team. So, yeah, heavy story. And there was a video that was tweeted out by a local media person of Darius Miles basically being taken away in cuffs and put into a police car, and he was emotional. He was talking to someone, I don't know who that was, saying something along the lines of, I love you more than you'll ever know. I don't understand what that was about. I don't fully know the context, but the charge is the charge and the allegation is the allegation. And a 23-year-old woman is dead after being shot and killed in her vehicle. So that is a heavy news story. But before we kind of got going, I did an intro on the pod for CBS as well, kind of mentioning it because it is... it's a significant major story here, even if the player isn't all that well known. That's basically the latest update we have as we pod here on Monday.
Yeah, Alabama played over the weekend at home. They beat LSU by 40, and they're on the road at Vanderbilt on Tuesday night. So, again, to your point, Norlander, we're taping the show early on Monday morning. If Alabama's head coach, Nate Oates, is going to say something or, I guess, have media availability later this afternoon, they're on the court. They got to go to Nashville and play at Vanderbilt on Tuesday night. Yeah, Alabama is alone in first place atop the SEC standings. Clearly not a headline you ever want to see come across the websites or the bottom line, however you're getting your college basketball news. But yeah, I saw that on Sunday night and was pretty floored because that's just not something that you should ever hear about, let alone have associated with student-athletes, college basketball. Alabama's a top-five team and maybe on the rise. They may be a top-three team by the time the latest AP rankings come out. I don't know. But let's talk SEC hoops. You wrote something about Arkansas over the weekend. They're swooning. They've lost, four out of their last five? They're in the cellar of the SEC right now. Kentucky goes on the road. They win at Tennessee. Heard a lot of people bagging on Coach Cal last week when they got smoked at home by South Carolina. Didn't get as much positive coverage over the weekend. I mean, everybody loves to pile on Cal when Kentucky's struggling, but they went on the road as a double-digit underdog and beat Tennessee in their own building, and it wasn't that close. I mean, they pulled away late, but they end up winning on the road. That's an impressive bounce back for Coach Cal and the Cats, baby.
It is. It was quite the impressive bounce back by Kentucky. And I was, I won't say shocked, but taken aback by how well Kentucky played in winning that game. It's not like they had to eke it out. They were authoritative. It was quite the move for Cal and Kentucky to be able to do that and not even be at full strength. You know, they didn't have Sevier Wheeler or Damian Collins. Now, Sevier Wheeler has been the target of some ire from Kentucky fans just because you know, he's diminutive. He's 5'9". There are things that make him a pretty good Division I point guard. Don't get me wrong.
That's not a recent thing either, by the way. I mean, I heard this last year from Kentucky fans.
It's been part of that. But because of the injuries to Wheeler and Collins, it allowed Kentucky to roll out a lineup of Shibwe, Jacob Toppin, C.J. Frederick, Kaysen Wallace, and Antonio Reeves. And that five-man lineup in limited action this season has been the most efficient by far. So with that, they were able to have some efficiency. It's still a defensive-first game. I mean, it was 63-56, and Kentucky gets the win. And this is the life of a coach, just so you know. That all happens, and like 4 hours later, I see tweets about literally the whole Kentucky staff going and checking in on Aaron Bradshaw and DJ Wagner commits that are going to play at Kentucky, you know, 9 months from now, and Billy Richmond, a 2024 prospect. So Cal gets this huge, huge win, but this is part of the life, and you know, you make millions upon millions upon millions of dollars as a head coach. It's going to be part of the deal here. But they get the win. They hop on a private team plane, flying up to a recruiting event that I think was in the north. I think they went to the Hall of Fame Classic up in Springfield, and we're recruiting. Literally, it was no rest for the weary. Get the big win early in the day on Saturday, then go and check out some recruiting that night, because that's the game. So if you thought Cal got the win, went home, sipped on some vino, and checked in on Jags Chargers, that was not the case. They were still grinding. And it's that recruiting class for next year that is the thing kind of that has been keeping Calipari's job in even more secure standing. Not that I think he's at risk of being fired. I don't. But a lot of fans do want him out. And he's bringing in arguably his best recruiting class in the past 5 years next season. And so because of that, there is hope that that Kentucky might be able to return to its elite form. Whether they can do that with a whole, like a bunch of newbies, I mean, he's done it before, but there's also been issues. We'll see. But it was a nice win. And in the process, it kind of exposed Tennessee a little bit for its offensive issues, which have been there for much of the season. Tennessee is going to continue to be a defensive first team and win like that, Hartzell. But I was a bit surprised that Tennessee was as not ready to go as I thought it would be in that spot, and it missed so many opportunities at the rim.
Let me talk Vols here for a minute, okay? I'm not going to go analytics on you, okay? I'm not going to go points per possession. I'm not going to break down field goal percentage and, you know, all the math stuff. But, man, I have been burned by Rick Barnes's Tennessee teams in the past, most recently March of 2022. And man, if you've been a part of the Tennessee basketball experience, or hell, if you want to go back to the Texas days, I'm not going to just say Rick Barnes can't win the big one, but man, like, this is just classic, just let down. You got a wounded animal coming to your place. Thompson Bowling was rocking. And they got off to a hot start. They were up like 6-0 early. Kentucky can't throw it in the basket. And then just, oh, man. Like, I'm not surprised. Like, I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. It's like when you, Norlander, you're a dad. You know, I'm sure you have to have these discussions with your kids when they act up. You're like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. And that's how I feel about Tennessee basketball. Come on, guys. You can't break 60 against Kentucky. Anyway, we move on. But yeah, Vols, I mean, they were ranked 5. The new AP rankings will come out. We'll see how that is reflected. But, they're not going anywhere. I think, what are they, like a projected 3 seed, 2 seed in some of these brackets that I'm seeing as we approach 2 months out from Selection Sunday. So, like, they're going to be fine. But, man, you had a chance to make a statement. You know, you had a chance to kind of step on Kentucky's throat and couldn't do it at home. Hate to see it. Speaking of SEC basketball, by the way, you wrote something about Arkansas. They are struggling. Coming off of back-to-back Elite Eights, they lose at Vanderbilt by 13 points. They had an 8-point lead at halftime, just totally got their doors blown off in the second half, gave up 63 points to the Commodores in 20 minutes of basketball. That's hard to do. What do you make about Arkansas, man? What's going on? They're 1-4 in the SEC.
Before I get to that, did you see Jerry Stackhouse's fit? You see that drip?
Dude, that is not – I haven't seen what he wore on Saturday, but he is the best-dressed coach in the SEC by a mile.
He in a time – and there are some coaches that are still going full suit. Dennis Gates at Missouri, he's rocking the full suit. There are a few others, and I respect it. Some coaches – see, some coaches are doing the, all right, I'll do a comfortable pair of slacks and a blazer and a button-up but no tie. Little neck showing, you know. Not going to button the top button, maybe the top two buttons. Some coaches do that. Other coaches are going full on. I've had some coaches tell me, I'm never going back. Are you kidding me? No. I'm going athleisure for game day, and this is the way. This is so much better. And I understand that. Sean Miller is one of them, who's all too aware of the sweaty Sean Miller memes that are out there. But there are a few coaches that are like, no, I want to show up. It's game day. And for anyone that played high school basketball, or you can remember this, it wasn't just basketball, but do you remember Hartzell? Like, well, first of all, what did you do for winter sports? Were you involved in a basketball program?
I played varsity basketball my senior year, okay? Druid Hills High School, Restore the Pride, DeKalb County Public Schools.
Restored the Pride.
If you saw the team picture, I would very easily be spotted, okay? Let's just put it that way. I stood out like a sore thumb. Let's just put it that way. But
ready
yes.
to ready to follow Fish back in 97 on that tour?
I did not wear my hemp choker when I was out on the court. Don't worry about that. But yes,
anyway,
I know where you're going with this.
What happened on game days?
Got to dress up, man.
Game day, you go to school, you show up in a shirt and tie. Am I wrong?
We only wore that for home games. Road games was kind of a different story, but yes.
In my high school, it was if basketball team, game day, shirt and tie to school that day. Kind of a cool thing. Anyway, so it goes back to, yeah, on game days, you get yourself dressed up a bit. And so Jerry Stackhouse is all the way in on this look. And I completely respect it. And I think it looks even more badass when he gets fired the hell up at the officials.
That happens
Saturday.
That happens like every game, man.
I know.
They had to call the cops for the VCU game earlier this year. Was it VCU?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, my man wanted he wanted a literal pound of flesh from one of those guys.
Looks just absolutely awesome, though. So I do love Sack. He's going three-piece with a tailor. Like, he is on it. I need Vanderbilt to be better so he can get more run consistently. And they've been up and down. I mean, Vanderbilt's 9-8 team. They're not going to the NCAA tournament or anything like that. But they get a win over an Arkansas team that is slumping, man. They're just slumping. That's what it is. Lost 4 of 5. The only win is at home. A close one over Missouri, which is having its own issues. And now those two teams will reconvene on Wednesday, and Missouri will host that game. Arkansas has to go on the road. Arkansas has not yet won a road game this season, and the biggest problem with the Hogs is they don't have their two best shooters. Trevon Brazil was maybe going to be the breakout player of the year before he tore his ACL. And then Nick Smith Jr., who's going to go in the top 10 of the NBA draft, whether he ever returns to play for this team or not, he's dealing with a knee issue. He's the other, you know, in theory, good shooter, although he's just 6 of 20. He's played 5 games, taken 23 pointers, and made 6 of them. So, relatively low sample size, but they don't have those guys. Now, they've got some good players. Like, Anthony Black, Jordan Walsh were 5-star prospects, and they're both freshmen. You know, Walsh is a defense-first kind of guy. Anthony Black might wind up being a top 10 pick in a few months. So, they've got talent, and they've got good. They've got a good defense, but it didn't show up against Vanderbilt. And I think it's conceivable that Arkansas could go from preseason top 10 team, a team that got to 11-1, to not making the tournament. I'm not predicting that's going to happen, but when I see what this team is incapable of doing and it still hasn't gotten Nick Smith Jr. back, and it's such a bad three-point shooting team. It ranks 337th in the country in three-point shooting. It's not even shooting 30% from beyond the arc, Hartzell. That's what gives me pause, on top of the fact that they still have to play. Like, Arkansas still has to go on the road and play at Baylor, has to play at Texas A&M, which hasn't lost yet in the SEC, has to play at Alabama, has to play at Tennessee, still has to play at Kentucky, and has a return game against Kentucky. So there's still a lot there. It needs to win the games I just mentioned. That's what, five or six games total? It needs to win at least three of those games to give itself an NCAA tournament resume. I'm skeptical right now that's going to happen.
Yeah, and again, this is an Arkansas team that ended Gonzaga's season last year, which, by the way, longtime listeners of College Sports Now know that game was foretold. I mean, the future was predicted on this show. Your boy here called that upset. Norlander, you saw it with your own eyes, okay? Down by the bay. You were there, man. You were there.
I was.
So, Arkansas in some trouble. I mean, they're 12-5 overall, but, 1-4 in the SEC, and they have lost three straight. Can we talk a little ACC basketball? Can we pivot?
We must. We simply must.
Okay. Trip Hurd is on the show. Trip is one of our esteemed producers here at Learfield. Serber's taking the day off. Trip is an irrational Duke Blue Devils fan. He once, last year, he drove 14 hours from Winston-Salem to New Orleans so he could see the end of the Coach K era in person. And Trip is with us here on the Monday edition of College Sports Now. Trip, can we talk about your Duke Blue Devils shitting the bed at Little John over the weekend? What would you make of that?
Oh, they didn't piss down their legs. It was shitting the bed this time.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit of both. But
you're getting a little predictable. I just wanted to surprise to see you pivot from a new.
Are you worried?
Okay.
You worried?
Yeah, I'm worried. They're not very good. The rotations kind of concern me too. They show little spurts where I think they could look like the team we expected at the beginning of the year, but I'm losing a little faith in this team right now.
What about you, Matt? You losing faith in Shire's boys?
Haven't lost faith because I didn't have a ton to begin with. I had Duke, between 15th and 20th overall in the country heading into the season. Duke is outside that right now. Duke will not be ranked when the polls refresh in a few hours here. At 13-5, I think Duke is just – here's what I think. I think Duke is going to – and this doesn't benefit the talking head industry or the pundit industry. I think Duke might just be blending into its environment in Shire's first year. It's his first season. They won't be great. They won't be terrible. They'll probably be just good. And they'll get anywhere between a 5 seed – and an 8 seed in the tournament, and put me down for over under 1.5 NCAA tournament wins. Like, it'll just wind up being okay. Like, it'll just be okay in Shire's first year. I think we will get to the end of this season, whenever Duke's loss comes, final one, however that arrives, and look back and be like, huh, interesting team. They had some talent, but sort of like nondescript this year. Like, it just wasn't, there wasn't a lot to really react to and talk about with this team. It will be interesting to see which of the freshmen are gone and which of them return, because I think Shire would be benefited by having some of these guys come back. Some of them are gone no matter what, obviously. But Derek Whitehead, who has had some injury issues, but he's been back for a while now, just has not been the guy, has not been as advertised, and neither has Derek Lively. Yeah. My goodness, he has not been as advertised there, and there's no chance Derek Lively's coming back. As much as a second year of college basketball might benefit him, I would be stunned if that actually wound up happening there. So, they lose. Clemson's off to his first 7-0 start. I was actually a little surprised by Clemson. This is where a thought from Serber could certainly help, but that's fine, Serbs. We'll see you on Thursday. Duke is still Duke. Clemson rushed the floor after beating a 24th-ranked Duke Blue Devils team that did not have Krzyzewski on the sidelines. I thought that was a little much, but you know what? if you're Shire, you better keep your program at that level, because if we get to a point where you fall on the road to a middle of the road program in your own conference and the students don't feel the urge to flood the floor, then something's really changed. So at least there's still that for now. Duke's next game doesn't come until Saturday. It's an interesting one. It's home against Miami, which got beat by NC State, has lost two of its past three. Miami plays Monday here on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. They play against Syracuse before getting Duke. But Duke will, if Duke doesn't beat Miami, I will say that will prompt some, all right, midway through the season, let's do an assessment here of this program in first year under John Shire. If it beats Miami, then it's just kind of like a little bit business as usual, won't attract too much attention. But that is my overall look on the Blue Devils at the moment.
We ranking Clemson this week, Matt? What do we think?
Oh, hell yeah.
Got to, right?
Yeah, they have to be ranked. Clemson's never had been 7-0 in its history in the ACC. I tweeted this out. I mentioned it on Ion College Basketball. I'm at a 97% confidence that Clemson has never owned a two-game lead in the loss column in ACC play ever in its history until right here, right now. Never. Never had a two-game lead. But Clemson has a two-game lead right now. And they are scheduled, provided I can get Brad Brownell on the horn later today. Once, you know, if I get my kids to occupy themselves so I can take a 20-minute phone call, I think Clemson will be the lead item of this week's court report at CBSSports.com. Yeah, I think they've earned it. And Brownell is doing this in a hot seat season. And to pull this off is mighty impressive. To this point, they're going to take some hits here. They play at Wake tomorrow.
Tough
on
game.
Tuesday.
Hey, listen, man, you don't just stroll into the Joel.
No one strolls into the Joel. And so, you know, if Brownell even was like, you know what, I'm not going to jinx myself, I'll respect that. But I'm writing Clemson no matter what. Win or lose, 7-0 or 7-1, or, you know, 8-0 or 7-1. Either way, I got to take it. But they are, they're a good story. They're one of the more surprising teams in the country right now. And yes, deserve to be ranked.
You want me courtside Tuesday night for some firsthand reporting? You want me there, man? I'll do it for you.
If you feel compelled, I'm not going to say no.
Man, listen, I can get my own section of seats at the Joel. Come on, man. Plenty of seats available. Not so much in the lower bowl, where the average age is probably about 72.
At the Joel?
Yeah. Older crowd.
They got to bring the freaking Deacons back, you know?
Yeah, you got to bring back Tie-Dye Nation. They're getting there under
the Screaming
under
Demons,
Forbes.
The freaking Deacons. We need those. We got to drop that average age down to at least, you know, upper 40s.
Listen, man, it's like the Dean Dome, man. You get the student section, and then it's just, you know, folks who eat dinner at 4:30, and that's fine. I got kids. I love to eat dinner.
Come on, man.
O'clock.
You got Clark and Betty Ann occupying the lower bowl for most of these games.
Yeah, lots of them. And that's okay. That's okay. So Clemson will be ranked, according to Matt Norlander. The Tigers, you heard it here, man, basketball school. I mean, let's go. Come on, Clemson. It's about time. You love to see it.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Rest of the ACC, though, man, it's the trash emoji. Like, it's just not. Am I exaggerating? Like, the bottom of the ACC, like Louisville, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, yikes. Like, those are, you know, That's not it.
I whiffed on Notre Dame.
But these middling schools.
I had Notre Dame 25th.
Really? Preseason?
Yeah.
Yikes. But, you know, like Florida State under Leonard Hamilton, usually reliable. Not this year. North Carolina, off the radar. NC State, Syracuse. Like, you know, you got Clemson and Pitt right now atop the ACC standings. Miami, Virginia, I mean, they're lurking too. But, yeah, it's a weird season so far in the ACC. By the way, Clemson, do we think they're the best basketball team in the state of South Carolina? Because CFC just keeps winning, man.
It's Charleston. I got to go Charleston.
Have you ever been to Charleston?
I have not. I feel like we just talked about this like a week ago.
You would love it, man.
I know. I got to get down there. Trust me. I know.
They've added some more hotels. It used to be like not enough hotels for the amount of tourists that were there. They fixed that problem in recent years. In fact, Matt, a lot of people from your neck of the woods moving down there, man.
I got a buddy whose his wife's father, so his father-in-law, moved from Connecticut to Charleston, I want to say 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And so they go down there. They go down there, I think, twice a year. At least once a year. Maybe sometimes it's once, sometimes it's twice. And, yeah, they love doing it. I think my buddy's wife wants to move to Charleston, but the only reason why they're not, that frankly, he told me, he's like, the only reason why we're not is the schools in Connecticut. The public schools are just, you know.
I won't fight you there.
Connecticut. Yeah. That's the only reason why. So that's basically. But, yes, you're right. The people from the Northeast, Charleston is a spot where they're tending to flock to. I just hope it doesn't get too big.
It's over. I mean, it's
done.
Yeah, right, 20 years ago, it was kind of an under the radar town, kind of like Asheville and Greenville. Greenville right now is getting ruined.
It's getting ruined.
I mean, it's on its way. You were down there a couple years ago for NCAA tournament.
It wasn't
stuff.
Even a couple. It was 10 months ago.
Okay. Well, there you go. You saw it firsthand. Like you're.
I
like,
enjoyed
oh,
Greenville.
Man, this place is nice. Well, I mean, 5 years from now, that place is going to be unrecognizable. The only other result for me, Norlander, that stood out, we've already talked to Kentucky, Tennessee. And I know not everybody watches Pac-12 basketball, but I do. I am locked into what's happening out west. What's going on with Arizona? Man, you went to Eugene deep in the woods and got smoke wagoned out of there. You got posterized. My man Kirk Creasa with the headband got absolutely annihilated in the opening minutes of that game. Matthew Knight Arena is half empty, and Oregon just put it on you. They won by 20. What's going on with Zona, man? They've lost 2 of 3.
One of the more surprising stats I saw over the weekend, considering the stature of Arizona's program, is that Dana Altman is 17-7 in his tenure with the Ducks against the Arizona Wildcats. 17-7. Now, Oregon has had many, many, many years where it's been good. Top 25 good, made tournament runs, all that good stuff. But Arizona in most seasons is also a top three team in the Pac-12. So it was a shock to me to see that Altman is that good. 17 up, only 7 down against the Wildcats. And my goodness, the defense for Arizona is a major issue. It is a major, major issue here. One, there's a couple things. They're turning the ball over at a rate that is not sustainable if you want to be a second weekend kind of tournament team. And they just do have gaps on the defensive end. Now, it's not all. What's interesting is if we go back about 6 weeks ago, Hartzell, when Arizona was just cruising and rolling, their two bigs, Azulis Tabellis and Umar Balo.
Monsters.
Tabellis, we'll say it again.
Both of those guys, monsters.
Monsters, right? Tabellis is 6'11", Balo's of 7 even. And they are not, like Tabellis, he's hit 9 threes, he's taken 19 this season. So he's good for one attempt from beyond the arc per game. And he's actually shooting, it's like it's a good rate. Balo is a traditional big. He's not stepping out and shooting whatsoever. But Arizona was showing, and Tommy Lloyd was, you know, the thought now in many ways, especially at the NBA level, is you cannot have more than one big on the floor that can't step out and really shoot it. But they were able to do that and use Tabellis and Balo in different ways, in creative ways, and play at a fast pace and really make it work. Now, sometimes having two bigs on the floor also makes you quite vulnerable to a lot of ball screen and action and a lot of defensive. The way that you're going to play defense against certain modern concepts on offense, that you might just put yourself in a tight spot. That seems to be, in part at least, what's happening, because this is not, it's not an overly deep team. I mean, they're really running like a six-man rotation. There's a few other guys. Adama Ball, he's getting a little bit of burn. Kylan Boswell, he's a freshman. Like, he's just not going to play minutes that actually mean something there. So I do wonder, and Tommy, from what I can tell, I've actually never attended a practice that he's run while head coach at Arizona, but I know his style, and I've been to Gonzaga practices before. I don't imagine he's absolutely burning his guys out in practice, but I do wonder if they've just if they've hit some sort of weird wall here. Now, that being said, this is a 15-3 team, but two of its past three games have been losses, and they've been losses, a home one by 13 to Washington State.
My what Washington State Cougars. My Cougs, by the way. They're again, mine.
I previously thought that was the weirdest loss of the season, but then when you follow that up with a road beatdown at the Ducks, who are an NIT team at best right now, you know, it's a little weird. It's a little concerning there. So we'll wait on that. I also feel compelled to mention, and I know you have a thought here on Arizona, so loop back as you please, but USC is potentially getting its act together. Oh, 13-5, won two in
that.
A row.
We're doing that again. We're buying Andy.
Hold on, I'm bringing
stock.
This up. I'm bringing it up because Vince Iwuchukwu, a freshman, he collapsed in the offseason, had to be rushed to the hospital. He returned. Now, he's only logged like 6 minutes in each of the past two games. We'll see when, if and when he can become an actual legitimate factor for this team. But a really good talent. USC has had some good big men over the past half decade. He's the next one in line. And right now, the standings in the Pac-12 read undefeated UCLA at 7-0, Arizona State is 6-1, USC is 5-2, Utah is 5-3, Arizona's 4-3, Oregon's 4-3, and then there's everyone else. So Pac-12 isn't that good, but from a metric standpoint, it is better than the ACC.
Yikes. Yikes. That says it all. Let me ask you a question, and Norlander, you are the college basketball mind on this show. Okay, you're the insider. So help me out here. Are there any parallels I can draw to Tommy Lloyd, who is what, a second-year head coach at Arizona, third-year head coach?
He's been there. He's in his second season.
He's in his second season in Tucson. This guy spent 20 years in Spokane on Mark Few's staff. Elite offensive teams. Not a ton of emphasis defensively at Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Any parallels here? Because, like,
I mean, somewhat.
Okay.
Yeah, but somewhat. Gonzaga did have a couple of really good defensive teams, but overall, on balance, yes. More offensive-oriented than defensive-oriented, and right now, that's where Arizona is. If you're a Wildcats fan, you're in an interesting spot because, you look at the coach you just had, who had good defensive teams at Arizona, changed his philosophy fairly drastically, and now at Xavier, Sean Miller has a top five team in the country on offense. That team hasn't lost a game in league play, and Xavier is going to be a top 10 team when the polls refresh here again in just a few hours. Meantime, Arizona fans, I think they weren't thrilled to see Sean get fired, but they could certainly embrace bringing in Tommy Lloyd, having a much more watchable offensive product. And they got a one seed last year and made a run to the Sweet 16 before getting bounced by Houston. But in this moment right now, even with a very healthy 15-3 record, the three is the concern in that all three losses are in conference. They're all to non-ranked opponents. They're all the non-NCAA tournament teams. So you're almost wondering, okay, are we heading toward a deal here again where, you know, maybe we get a two seed or a three seed. Maybe a one seed might be too tough to pull off this year, but maybe we get to the two line or three line. But are we gonna bump up against an opponent two games into the tournament, three games into the tournament, and our defense is going to be an issue, and then we're just going to get bounced again? That might, tournament's a tough deal, man. Wind up being the case. So that's a viable concern right now. For as fun as Arizona is to watch, defense is sorely lacking.
Yeah, the bigs, Tubelis and Balo, I mean, getting off the bus, these guys look unbeatable. I mean, you watch these guys, there's not a team in America that's got 2 7-footers. I mean, Tubelis is like 6'11", but still, like, on the floor at the same time. Like, they look They look like they're playing a different sport. And then my man Carissa with the headband. I mean, you shades of Steven Hartzell in 2000. Let's just put it that way. Headband Steve.
Let's not.
Just, I mean, the guy looks, he looks amazing out there. He's tanned. I mean, he just looks
amazing
great.
When he was getting his chest impaled by Infali Dante on that poster.
Yes, he did get posterized by Infali Dante in a game that, like I said, most people, he didn't see it. He didn't watch it. But that's okay. Pac-12 basketball, under the radar product nationally. I get it. I understand. Not everybody's got Pac-12 Network. I understand. I get it. But that's a fun league. I don't know if anybody can give UCLA a game, Matt. I know they've had some close calls. But, man, you look at their schedule, like Mick Cronin, they lost two games in November in Vegas, like on back-to-back days. Wasn't it like Baylor and Illinois, I think? And after that, they've been, I mean, they've been
undefeated, never lost.
I mean, that's not too bad. Okay. Now, I don't know if they're national championship caliber. Last week on the show, you had Arizona in that discussion.
Yep, I got UCLA in that discussion too, for sure.
Okay. I mean, they're really good, but, I mean, can anybody in the Pac-12 give them a game? We shall see. What else stood out from the weekend, man? You want to talk a little Big East? They had some good games on Sunday. You mentioned Xavier. They keep it rolling. St. John's gets a nice win. That was shocking.
I want your take. Give me your assessment of the Big East. Xavier is the only undefeated team left in that league. Let's talk for real or not for real. And for real will be, in your definition, I'm defining it for you, capable of making the Final Four. Any Big East teams for real?
Well, you know, I'm a very harsh grader, Norlander. You've been doing the show with me for a few years now. I mean, I'm not the guy who's got 16 teams written down.
I know.
As teams who can cut down the nets, like some other
Do you have six?
Members of this podcast. I'm not ready to give you that list yet. I'm really not. I mean, for me, like, everybody's high on Purdue and Houston right now. Houston plays in a conference that is trash. Like, I mean, we did this with Gonzaga for the last 10 years.
You can't hold their conference against them,
yes,
though. Houston
I can.
Has proven it. Literally made a Final Four with Calvin Sampson.
If I want to hold, listen, my record books, my eye test, it's different than yours. Okay, it's different than Jeff Goodman's and Andy Katz. Okay, I don't care about what Houston did in November. I care if you're playing, you know, Tulane and UCF.
Don't hate on Tulane hosting Houston this week
and Memphis and just some of these meh programs in the American.
What's the difference between the American and the ACC? Let's be honest.
Brands. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Yes. I mean, that's the succinct answer. Now, Houston's obviously going to the Big 12 next year. And that's great. Good for them. They got an NBA arena. They got an NBA coach. They've got elite talent. They will do just fine.
They literally have an NBA owner.
And
Tillman
an NBA
Fertitta
owner.
Tillman Fertitta basically, you know, funds the Houston program. Yes.
He's doing pretty well for himself. Yeah, he's doing pretty well. So to answer your question about the Big East, as I was stalling there for about 3 minutes, the short answer is I don't know. I was told by folks that I work with who are majority of them are from the Northeast, that UConn was the goods, that they were legit. Well, they've lost two in a row, and they just got embarrassed at home by the Red Storm. So I don't know, man. Like, I need to get Fanta on the phone. I need to talk to John Fanta. I need to get the download because I see Xavier and Providence continuing to do their thing. Marquette's hanging around. Creighton, nice win over the weekend. I don't know, man. I love Xavier. Going back to my days of being a college basketball nut when I was in college, they were spectacular. So I'd love to see Xavier get back. But I don't know, man. Final Four good? I don't know if I can put any of these teams on that list just yet.
Xavier also doesn't play defense all that well, and its overall profile is similar to Arizona, but Miller was more a defensive first coach, and now he's just changed his schemes and team shoots it well. Sule Boom from UTEP is maybe the most impactful transfer in the country this season, and if he's an All-American at this point. If we had to make All-American teams right now, first, second, third team, I'd have him probably a second team All-American. And yeah, Xavier's got five guys who can shoot the three, six guys really who can shoot the three. So they are unquestionably a Final Four contender. And at this point, would probably be at 15-3, they're probably a two seed.
Talk to your boy Torvik. He's got him as a four. Okay. Talk to your boy. Yeah, I mean, I hear you. Ooh, they'd be headed to Greensboro. We got NCAA tournament in Greensboro this year?
There you go. I won't be there.
Let's go, buddy. Me and you. Let's go.
Let's do it.
I mean, Duke won't be there, but we can still
go. Down the street.
I mean,
come on.
That will be
Matt
interesting.
Matt just said they would be. That was kind of like the biggest relief I've heard in a while.
Yeah, they ain't gonna be there.
He still has them in the tournament.
Matt's not a bracketologist.
Hey, and by the way, I was just going to drop in, since you're talking Big East, since I'm in studio with Baylor, the beating Marquette put on Baylor, and I know Baylor's not ranked anymore, that was one of the most impressive things I've seen so far this year in college basketball.
What do you make of that, Norlander?
Yeah, that was, I want to say Marquette, I'm going to bring up that game real quick. It was, they destroyed them, but they destroyed them. They were magma hot from the field in that game.
Liquid
so that's
hot
all,
magma.
Magma. That's from the end of November, a 96-70 outcome. Marquette scored 1.39 points per possession, which is outrageous. 12 of 25 from three-point range. They were just on fire in that one. Now, Baylor's a little down this season. In fact, Baylor's got some prove it needs to be doing here.
They're fine.
It's 1-2 in a row, but it's got roadies against Texas Tech and Oklahoma. And if you're Baylor and you're legitimate and you're a top 15 team, like, you're winning both those games on the road. You're doing it. So we'll see if they can do that. But yes, Marquette has one of the best wins over a top 25 level team of anyone in the country with that destruction of Baylor. And then Marquette played Xavier well over the weekend, but Xavier had the home floor and just made the shots it needed to down the stretch. And Sean Miller has gone from exile in Tucson to National Coach of the Year candidate in his first season at Xavier. And the subplot with all of this, or the backstory with all of this, is that it was a year ago at this time, it was considered unthinkable that Xavier would be coached by anyone other than Travis Steele. If we go back to January 16th of 2022, Xavier was a 13-3 team, okay? And its losses were all understandable. This is under Travis Steele a year ago. Lost on a neutral floor to an Iowa State team that started out the season hot and then eventually made the Sweet 16 and made the tournament in its first season under TJ Altzberger. And the only other two losses were to Jay Wright's Villanova Wildcats. And one of them was a pretty close loss. So Xavier's at 13-3 and clearly trending toward finally getting back to the NCAA tournament, because it had not been there since 2018. Chris Mack's last season, Xavier got its one and only one seed in school history. Mack parlayed that into the Louisville job. He ain't even there anymore.
Mm-mm.
But the point is, Xavier historically does not go more than two seasons, and really even more than one season, without making the NCAA tournament. And I'm talking back to like 1983, this streak had been ongoing. But Steele gets the job in 18-19, doesn't make it in 19. There was no tournament in 20, but Xavier was not a tournament-level team in 20. It was fringe. It was an NIT team. And then in 21, pandemic-shortened season, they play 21 games. They go 13-8. They're not good enough. They don't get in. So in his fourth season, it's a prove-it season, a hot seat season, but folks thought that even if Xavier didn't make it, he'd probably get one more year. Well, they go from 13-3 all the way to 18-13 by the end of the Big East Conference Tournament, because they were one and done. They lost in overtime to a bad Butler team. That loss continued a streak in which Xavier dropped 6 out of 7 games. Xavier went from, at this point last year in bracketology projections, being like a 5 seed, out of the tournament altogether. That prompts Greg Christopher, the Xavier athletic director, to fire Travis Steele the day after they lose in the Big East tournament, I believe. If not the day after, I think 2 days after. Steele gets fired. Kind of surprising, but understandable, because, again, the idea that Xavier last season wasn't making the tournament for the first 2.5 months of the season just didn't seem plausible. But lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Xavier winds up going on to win the NIT. Did you know this, Hartzell? I bet you didn't even know that.
Xavier won the NIT last year?
Xavier won the NIT last year. Did so by beating Texas A&M. The same Texas A&M, Texas A&M team that Buzz Williams made a huge stink about not getting into the tournament.
He was right, by the way.
He was wrong. And it's part of the reason why Greg Sankey is trying to expand the NCAA tournament, all this stuff. A&M goes all the way to the NIT title game, but loses to Xavier, who was under an interim head coach at that point. And all of this leads to me being in Greenville. Let's bring this bad boy full circle. And I was tracking this story, but Sean Miller going from getting fired at Arizona, taking the year off, playing Madden, you know, doing all this other stuff, to literally having job offers on the table from South Carolina and Xavier. He goes back to where he once, from whence he once came, goes to Xavier. And now the Musketeers are a top 10 team in the country. Kind of just been a while past 10 months for that program.
Our boy Jerry Palm, friend of the program, he's got Xavier as a 2 seed. Bart Torvik, another friend of the program, has Xavier as a 4. Torvik's got UConn as a 2. For what
I think
worth.
What's going on there, I could be wrong here, Torvik might have, that might be gamed out to be predictive. So it's acknowledging records and accomplishments now, but also projecting where the teams will wind up. Whereas Palm is in the moment. We freeze the season right now. You take a look at their resumes. These are where teams are. Torvik's might be, this is actually where I think it'll end up based upon, you know, historical trends, et cetera, et cetera. That might be the case with Torvik. I don't know if I have to be 100% sure, but you tell me UConn's still a 2 seed. I can't really buy that right now. And that also, I don't know if that updated today or if that's, you know, data that's 5 or 6.
Listen,
years old.
Don't take up that beef with me. You take it up with Bart Torvik, okay? T-Rankitology. Check it out. BartTorvik.com. It's our buddy. It's our friend. And by the way, man, if it sounds like you got some beef with Sankey, too. If you want to get the SEC commissioner on the show, I can make that happen. I mean, he's trying to expand the NCAA tournament.
I mean, I can also just text him as well, but yeah, that's fine, too.
Just saying. You want to talk hoops with the commish.
We'll save that topic for another day. But last time
you and I did a show, we had the Big Ten commissioner just walk out on the job. Spectacular.
That is true.
Last
that
week.
Did happen. And then did you see Sankey threw a jab?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a jab. It was like a right hook.
Yeah, it's true.
Just taking shots.
If you are listening or not quite sure, when Georgia had its, I guess Sankey broke. Didn't Sankey speak at the parade?
Yeah, he was there. He was at Sanford Stadium.
Yeah, he spoke at the parade.
Yeah, he addressed the crowd.
Yeah, and then basically said, we want leaders in college sports who are in it for the long haul that understand what college sports need. We don't need people doing a drive-by to enhance their resume, then leaving on for other stuff or something like that. It's like,
yikes. I still maintain, like, if I'm Kevin Warren, I get it, man. Being a conference commissioner is, like, that job is going to look different 2 years from now than it does in present day. Like, I understand.
Kevin Warren did a great job.
From our perspectives. He was not well-liked by ADs, presidents, who are all, by the way, going to cash that check.
Exactly.
Okay? Like, they're all flush with cash. But, yeah, my understanding is, and I'm sure you've had these discussions as well, within the Big Ten, a lot of people weren't a fan. Which is crazy to me, that, from my seat.
I picked up on that a little bit in the past year or so.
Sure, sure.
I don't want my man building a Bears stadium that has a roof.
Here we go. By the way, Tripp is a Chicago Bears fan as well. I don't know why, but you know, he kind of jumps around in fandom. Duke football,
no, I don't.
Duke basketball, Florida State football.
Wow.
I can't really keep up.
I've been with him. I've been with him forever, never changed.
Okay.
Welcome to the Bears. Well, you know.
Welcome to
aboard, I guess.
What are y'all going to do with the number one pick? Who you want?
We're going to screw it up.
Okay, very
good. That's what we're going to do.
Excellent. Spectacular.
I'm undetermined on what exactly is going to happen there.
Who do you want?
But yeah.
Who do you want number one?
I'd rather trade out of it. Yeah, trade out of it and see what happens. the number one pick's just too valuable this year. So, yeah, I don't know. Or you just
they are 1,000,000,000% trading that pick.
They got to trade out of it, and then yeah, it's a weird year upcoming because it's almost like trade out of it, get a good defensive player. You're not going to get the number one pick 2 years in a row, but
yeah, you might. You guys are pretty bad.
If you're bad enough, then and Justin Fields isn't the guy, then go get Caleb Williams in a year. You know,
you want a guy who paints profanity on his fingernails? That's what does it for you.
Not offended by it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Do we want to do some look ahead to the week? We've got matinee basketball, man. We're a couple hours away from Purdue and East Lansing.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? This is, I mean, this
what
is
do you mean why? This it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Okay. I mean, the NBA is doing this. I didn't know college basketball was doing this as well, but Purdue.
Has been a thing in recent seasons. Fox always gets a game there midday, and this is a really, really tasty game.
It is tasty. Purdue, road favorite at Michigan State, and it's a 2:30 Eastern tip on Fox. So if you're listening to this, the game is coming up very, very soon. There's also a 5 o'clock game this afternoon on something called Flow Sports.
Hell yeah.
Is that a virtual reality experience? Is that some sort of like startup? Do you have to be a member?
You may need a login. You may need to bust out the credit card. I can't say that I've done either. So.
Okay. Well, College of Charleston hosting the Tribe. Are they still the Tribe, William & Mary?
I'm
that
pretty
hasn't
sure
been corrected by
yeah.
now? Okay, very good. William & Mary at College of Charleston. Cougs are a 16.5-point favorite there. And then Syracuse, Miami in front of about, I don't know, what do you think, Matt? Maybe 900 people down there in South Florida?
Nah, let's...
7 o'clock tip, ACC Network?
I'm going to say... First of all, my brain, when you tell me Syracuse against Miami, still, especially on a Monday, my brain, that's a Big East. That's 2004 Big East matchup.
Let it go,
right
man.
There.
The Big East is better now. Let it go.
The 2004 Big East matchup. This is an ACC game. I don't know if I'll ever really relinquish that. It's just, what are we doing here? All right, so the Watsco Center for Miami. I know you're very familiar with it, Hartzell.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Seats, pretty much 8,000. Okay.
There'll be 2,500 people there tonight.
Give me Miami's a good team. Yeah, I'm going with a solid 3,400.
Okay, it's a Monday night. They got to go head to head with a playoff game in the state.
That's a great point, but
good
it's in
luck,
the state.
Guys.
It's not in the city. Fins are done.
Don't matter.
Fins gave it a good game. I know you weren't dialed in on the NFL, but it's a good Sunday.
I was at Monster Jam yesterday with my kids. That's how I get down.
Good for you. Good for you. Purdue and Michigan State's it's a really good game. I'll be at the return. Michigan State plays at Purdue in 13 days. It's a CBS game. In fact, we might need to figure out what we're doing on that Monday because I might be flying back.
We can adjust, buddy. Yeah, we can accommodate your schedule. I'm glad you're getting back out on the road. You love to see it.
Love to see it. So, yeah, I'll be at Purdue I'll be at Michigan State at Purdue. It'll be my first trip to Mackey. That'll be in 13 days. I'm
ever?
Very much looking forward to it.
You've
I have never been to
there?
Mackey. Never been to Mackey.
I got roasted on Twitter last year because I said that place wasn't as loud as Bud Walton Arena.
It's true. That was a great.
Purdue fans came out of the woodwork.
As they should have.
As they should have, he says. I still maintain the basketball palace of the Midwest in the right environment. I mean, with the right matchup.
That's not what it is. Rocking. It's the matchups be damned. That's how you evaluate. Anyone can get up for the biggest game of the year.
So when Eastern Michigan's in town taking on Purdue,
you don't want to be in that. You don't want to be in that place.
Okay. All right, very
if
good.
If you're Eastern Michigan.
Excellent.
Just bad. But yeah, Purdue and Michigan State is the game to know.
Purdue going down today?
Let's pick it. Yeah, I'll say it's actually better for my story if it doesn't, but I'll say it goes down.
Michigan State coming off a loss.
Can I guess the line? Right? I'm going to say Purdue's going to be favored. I'll say Purdue -2 is the line.
3.5.
It's moving a little bit here on my side. It's moved a full point since we started the show.
To what?
I had it at 3.5. You can get it at 2.5 right now.
Wow.
There we go.
Trip, you've been known to throw a couple darts at the board. Does this do
what do you mean throwing
you?
Darts? I went 4-2.
Okay.
Got unlucky, went 4-2
all
Saturday.
Right.
You're welcome.
@TripHurd on Twitter. That's Trip with two P's, HURD. You got any? I mean, is this the Lock Doctor? Yes,
the Lock Doctor.
Is this making the card for today? I mean, it's a 2:30 college basketball game on a federal holiday. I know you're betting on this game.
I've got a couple of picks, and I'm going to stay with Purdue. They were as good as they've been this year. They were terrible against the spread, but they've hit three in a row. I'm going to ride this streak with Purdue, and I've also got the over 150 in Miami.
God.
And you were just talking about it. Miami, Syracuse. Yeah, I've got that.
Lock Doctor is locked in. Right?
That is degenerate activity.
Great over teams.
God almighty. College basketball overs are the worst. I mean, I love them. They're better than unders. But, man, you get these seven-minute scoring droughts, and you just want to jump through a plate glass window. Like, Norlander, do you ever watch college? I mean, I know you devour college basketball. You got the quad box going. Like, you're watching games all the time.
Love it. Love
it's amazing the inability of these kids to, like, make free throws, make layups. Just, I mean, some of the
as someone who does not gamble on the sport, fortunately, although I'm aware of how these things can happen, it is a blissful existence to not be sweating out college basketball overs. Like, I'm not doing that.
Don't change, man. Never change.
It's not my life. Never has been, never will be. I'm not sweating out the OU 127.5. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I mean, so. It's one thing if it's a game on TV, like Tripp's referencing Miami and Syracuse. Like, that's one thing. It's another thing when it's a Friday night and you're sitting there watching the Stags of Fairfield on, like, ESPN Plus, and you're just hoping some of these free throws go down.
I thought you were going to say you're locked into the game tracker on your phone, and you wonder if the app stopped working because the score hasn't changed in four minutes.
We've all been there. I mean, we've all, except for you, apparently, we've all been there.
No, I do not. It would be unethical to wager on the sport that I cover. So that does not happen. Another game on Monday, Illinois at Minnesota, 6:00, Big Ten Network. Only bring it up because
Minnesota's terrible,
and Illinois has been rickety. Just keep an eye out. That's all.
You're saying it's tough on the road. Is what you're saying.
I'm just saying Illinois hasn't proven that it's going to be able to win that with ease. So just keep an eye on that. What do we got for Tuesday?
Tuesday is pretty loaded. I mean, relatively loaded. Sunflower State Showdown, Kansas at Kansas State. K-State coming off a loss at TCU over the weekend. Houston at Tulane. Watch out. American Athletic Conference coming at you.
That's all I'm saying. Just keep an eye.
The game's on ESPN Plus, man. You can't even get that on cable. Disrespectful for the number one team in the land. Texas at Iowa State is a good one. The aforementioned Alabama at Vanderbilt. Doors coming off a nice win over Arkansas. You ever been to that gym, by the way, in Nashville?
Charleston, Nashville, Seattle, and Austin are the four cities that I haven't been to that I most want to visit. I've been to most notable.
I will rank those for you right now. Okay. Charleston 1. Although it's slipping. It's not what it was 10, 15,
listen,
20
Charleston
years ago.
Now is Nashville in 07, and Nashville now is who even knows. But
I'm putting
continue.
Austin at 2. I'm putting Nashville at 3. Seattle, I mean, I don't think Seattle is a very fun place to go.
Seattle's topography fascinates me, so.
Yeah, but there's.
I'm a big fan of cities on sounds.
Do you like
the Puget?
Okay, all right. I'm not even gonna go. I'm not even gonna wade in those waters. But Seattle, it's kind of dirty. That's all I'm saying. It's kind of like Denver, downtown, dicey.
Seattle, the city of my favorite Real World season, circa '98.
Wow, dude, really?
I watched the Real World from.
We all watched the Real World.
Maybe '96 to 01. Seattle was my favorite. It was my favorite season, I think.
Kids don't remember that, like, if you wanted to watch TV back in those days, you had to watch it live.
Yeah,
like, you had
right.
to watch it when
you
came
can record.
On.
You had the VCR. We had the tech. You could schedule it.
I mean, very few people did that. Very few people.
I straight up did that. Are you kidding me?
You were taping.
I had a basketball game to be at
hoops.
On a Thursday night.
Sports is
different. I'm setting it to record Seinfeld at 9:00 in case I'm not back in time. That absolutely happened.
And that's not DVR, kids. That's on a VCR. Look it up.
That's right.
The struggle was real. Kansas State's going to be a great game Tuesday.
It should be. Kansas has been outstanding, and Kansas State's one of the best stories in the country this season.
Kansas
and Jerome
has been
Tang
lucky,
is,
Norlander. Let's just call it what it is. These single possession wins, like at some point, regression to the mean here. Come on.
Here's the stat of the day. Kansas has 16 wins to one loss, but 8 of its 16 wins have come by 2 possessions, 6 points or fewer. So we'll see.
Brian Haney, the voice of Kansas, over the weekend calling the end of the Iowa State game. Cardiac Kansas is back. Those are his words, not mine.
Cardiac Kansas is back. Yeah, they're keeping it close, but they're getting it done, man. It's a good team.
They're getting it done for now.
No, they're getting it done. They're the reigning national champions, and they weren't projected to be a top 5 team in the country, and they are now playing like a top 3 unit, even if they're winning games close.
They're losing Tuesday night in Manhattan.
That's the question, though. Can they go into the Octagon of Doom? You know, Marquise Noel has been an All-American for K-State. He was averaging 28-10, the 10 being assists in Big 12 play, and then TCU held him to 16-4. Let's see if he can get back on track. K-State. This podcast can now exclusively report that the 22-23 Kansas State Wildcats will not match the greatest start in program history, which is, of course, the 58-59 team.
Of course.
Tech's winner, 25-1 that year. Not going to match that. K-State's now got 2 losses. It's got a big opportunity Tuesday night at home against Kansas at the Octagon of Doom.
The next month of Kansas's schedule is fraught with potential landmines here, buddy. So
I know.
I mean, that's great. We're talking about 16-1 Kansas. Woohoo! Way to go, guys.
Here's what
Joel
Self's
Kansas State, home to TCU, which is a top 20 team. They got to go to Waco to play Baylor. They got to go to Rupp to play Kentucky, SEC Big 12 Challenge. Home to Kansas State, at Iowa State, who they just beat by 2. Home to Texas. I mean, that right there, boom, 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 boom. 5 of their next 7 are against ranked teams, and the unranked teams are Baylor and Kentucky on the road.
Bill Self, after Saturday's win over Iowa State, said, quote, "That's a joke. There's not going to be any easy games," end quote. So, KU's going to take some else. Doesn't mean that's not a top-5 team. He's going to take some else. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to continue to fade Kansas, even though they are the reigning national champs.
Go ahead and fade Bill Self. See how that works out for you.
I will. Thank you. Not so much in the Big 12, but in the tournament. Auto fade.
Auto, yeah. How you faded them last year. How'd that work out for you?
Not great.
That's what I'm saying. Here's what else we got Tuesday. Texas at Iowa State. Another good one. Rodney Terry, interim head coach of Texas. What is he, 7-1 now?
He's doing just fine.
Doing just fine. We'll see if he can... I think that if Texas is 3 seed or better and it wins 1 tournament game, just dodge that 14 seed upset, I kind of think Rodney Terry might win that job, but we'll see.
Wow, possibly removing the interim tag. That is a top, 5 job in college basketball? Top 10? It's definitely top 10.
I ranked all the jobs in the offseason.
Of course you did.
And I had Texas 10th. So
10th?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're not the top job in the Big 12. I get that.
Nope. Do you want the list?
I want to know who's ahead of Texas. Okay, hang on. I haven't read this article, but...
It was an article. It was a podcast episode, and then it got turned into a social media graphic. Hold on.
I'm getting a pen and paper. I think I can definitely get 8 of the 9 in front of Texas.
Okay, here we go. I got the list. All right, how do you want to do this? You want to guess?
The top job in America.
Yeah, what's, in my opinion, the best job in college basketball?
Kansas.
Incorrect.
Kentucky.
Incorrect.
UCLA?
Incorrect.
All right, I'm feeling a little rattled.
Number 1, what's the best job in the country? Come on.
Trip, what's the best job in America in college basketball? Oh, Duke, UNC.
Incorrect. UNC.
I mean, come on.
Carolina's the best job in the sport. Carolina's the best job in the sport. I don't know what to tell you.
Number 2 is Kansas.
That's right.
All right. Number three is Kentucky.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Now I'm back on my.
It took you six guesses to get to Carolina? That's bad.
It's literally 90 minutes down the street. That's bad. You hate to see it. Okay. Dean Dome should probably be condemned, by the way.
Why is Duke so far down the list here?
We've gone through three schools to this point.
UCLA is four.
That's not correct.
Hang on.
Carolina one, Kansas two, Kentucky three.
We're going to the Big East.
What's fourth?
We're going to the Big East.
Carolina one, Kansas two, Kentucky three. What's fourth, Hartzell?
I mean, there's no SEC schools on this list besides
Trip,
Kentucky.
Trip, what's fourth?
Duke.
Duke is fourth. Thank you.
I don't know if it should be.
What are
be.
We doing here, Hartzell?
I don't know if it should be.
It's got to be.
It should be higher, right?
Can we get Arizona or UCLA in the top five?
Which one are you going to go with?
I'm going players program or historic Pauly. I'm going zone of five.
That's correct.
Yes, I'm back, baby. I'm back. All right, we know Texas is at 10. So yes. I'm looking at four spots here.
Yep.
I don't think there's anybody in the SEC other than Kentucky. Is that correct?
The next closest job is 15th, and that would be your Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah. There's no other Big 12 schools on this list. Kansas is at two. Like, we're not putting, like, Oklahoma in here.
That's correct.
UCLA is lurking somewhere 6 through 9, correct?
That's correct.
Gonzaga's not on this list, is it?
Gonzaga is 12th.
Okay. All right, we have no Big East schools. I know there's.
I would
be,
by the way, I'm willing, when I put this list out, I'm willing to put Gonzaga narrowly outside the top 15, but with what Mark Few has been able to do and how much, the thing is, the amount of autonomy that Mark Few has to run that program, the resources, basketball means everything. He can schedule anyone he wants in the non-conference. There's a lot that goes into not the status of the program, the appeal of the actual job. They are different things, so that's why I have Gonzaga 12. But if you wanted to make an argument that Gonzaga deserves more 14 to 16 or 17, I would hear you, but I put it at 12.
Oh, I'm sleeping on Indiana. They've got to be somewhere 6 through 9.
You need to put schools next to numbers here. You need 6, 7, 8, and 9. So who's 6?
Indiana.
No.
Arizona?
No. Arizona, you already guessed. That's 5.
Oh, Zona's at 5. Yeah, okay. Louisville can't be on this list, right?
It's in there somewhere.
Oh, my God. Louisville's a top 10 job? Louisville's a better job than Texas.
Yes.
Can I say that that's not true? I mean, like, I know they're terrible.
You can disagree with it. Many in the industry would disagree with you. Some would take Texas over Louisville.
Okay, very good. Oh man, like Indiana.
You're not going to agree with the school that I have sixth.
Is it in the Big Ten?
It is not.
Okay, who is it?
Villanova.
Oh, okay. No, I get it, man. It's Philly. I get it, but bro. Once Jay Wright left, they have
nosedived. They have. It has not been a good start to the Kyle Neptune era. If you really go and look at how good Villanova has been over the ages, it's up there.
Okay.
Villanova 6.
Okay. All right. So
basketball first school, basketball first league, in one of the very few cities that can love its college stuff almost as much as it loves its pro sports. Philly's more pro than college, don't get me wrong, but Philadelphia is a great college basketball town.
Yeah, okay, I get it. All right, so UCLA, Indiana, there's one other school in here, and...
We talked about it.
Michigan State.
No, that's outside. Louisville is the other school in the top 10.
Oh, Louisville, got it. Okay, all right. That's fine. I don't think Texas is...
UCLA is 7, Indiana is 8, Louisville is 9, Texas is 10, Michigan State is 11, Gonzaga is 12, Michigan is 13, UConn is 14, and Arkansas is 15.
Yeah, that's interesting. Only one Northeast school in the top 10. Good for you.
I didn't know if you were going to try to
slip UConn in there. I didn't know if you were going to try to slip, like, St. John's, Georgetown, no, but wait 10 years, maybe. Maybe they can never.
I think when I put that list out, I want to say the schools that got the most, that were the noisiest, that were not in. I want to say Syracuse.
No, get a life.
I know. I wouldn't put them top 15.
It's a lacrosse school.
And I want to say maybe Illinois was the other one, in terms of not having it on the list. I think that might have been the other one. But
Syracuse soccer school, reigning national champs on the men's side. How about that?
Yeah, Syracuse could be in some trouble here. All right, real quick, rest of Tuesday. Baylor or Texas Tech? Texas Tech hasn't won a game yet in Big 12 play. Not a tournament team.
Gotta have it, Baylor. Gotta have it.
Kind of both these teams kind of have it. We'll see on that. Tennessee plays at Mississippi State. That is going to be a defensive struggle. Could be a first to 60 wins kind of situation there.
Didn't Mississippi State just allow Georgia to win on the road for the first time in like two years?
Yep. Mike White getting it done there. Creighton plays at Butler, 7 Eastern on Tuesday. Creighton has a weird resume, and losing at Butler would put it outside the field for now, as far as I'm concerned. Penn State, Wisconsin is a good Big Ten matchup. Clemson, we'll see if it can remain undefeated going on the road against Wake Forest. And you mentioned Houston, Tulane, so that's most of Tuesday. What do we have for Wednesday? Because we won't convene again until Thursday.
We talk on Thursday. Game of the day on a pretty loaded Wednesday slate. Give me Arkansas, Missouri. Just a lot of anxiety in Como for that one. Two desperate teams. Got to have it. You got to.
Did you call it Como?
It's Columbia, Missouri.
I know. I follow you, but I'm just making sure. I hadn't heard that before.
That's the thing. I will allow you to parlay that on your national platforms if you would like.
I might. Como. I like it. All right.
Yeah. Como. It's a thing. Arkansas-Missouri is the game of the night for me. That's at 9 o'clock on SEC Network. You're kind of regionally biased, so you'll probably go like UConn-Seton Hall or something.
I'm not going to UConn-Seton Hall, though Providence-Marquette is super tasty. Now, CBS Sports Network game, 9 Eastern Wednesday night.
Got to plug those.
14-4 Providence at 14-5 Marquette. It's by far the best game of the night.
By far.
By far. The best matchup. Don't know if it'll be the best game played. Best matchup. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You kidding?
Right.
Let's go.
Virginia Tech at Virginia. Hokies they're off the radar. I know that, but
Hokies have cratered.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
And then Wahoos are the best team in the ACC, I think. Record be damned at the moment, but
hey, where do you real quick, Norlander? Where do you have the Mountain West Conference ranked amongst like conference strengths?
7th.
Okay, so behind the Pac-12, behind the ACC.
Yeah, but it's going to get multiple teams in the tournament.
Okay,
yeah, we'll save that for another day. Mountain West is having a nice little season so far.
They're fun. So here's what we've got coming up on Thursday, because again, College Sports Now Basketball Edition episodes dropping Monday and Thursday. We will be giving you an album review on Drip Field. I've been listening. It's
okay. Save it for Thursday. I gotta send you a tweet. I saw Bob Weir doing calisthenics with one of the guys from Goose.
Yeah,
what is going on?
It's a thing, man. Like,
did you see this video?
Yes, I saw the video.
What are we doing?
It's the toes in the sand thing. I think the dead's down in Mexico.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I know how this works with broadcasters. Like, everybody has an agent, and your agent is out there just
pumping you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if Goose has just figured out that, like, the rest of the jam band community is just, you know, they're kind of lazy. I don't know what it is. But these guys have spectacular agents. They're getting endorsed by everybody.
We're saving the Drip Field album review for Thursday.
We'll talk about that. We're also going to revisit the summer when Norlander was on stage with Guster. I've been saving this. I want to talk about it. We'll talk about that on Thursday as well. I know you've discussed it at length in other places, but not here. And that will be talked about.
I don't even think I've discussed it at length all that much,
well,
to be honest.
For those that want the behind-the-scenes experience, Norlander will talk about that with Serber and I on Thursday in the now spinning portion of the program where we talk tunes.
Hell yeah.
Hey, happy MLK Day, guys. And hey, Tripp, you're a parent too, man. Good luck today. I mean, we're hanging on for dear life, all three of us. We're doing the best we can.
Our daycare was open.
Oh, savage.
As we speak here, I mean, my wife's working. I'm working. She texts me. She's got a meeting with the old boss in 10 minutes. She's going to need this office there. So she's like, can you be done?
She uses your office for her Zoom calls?
It's our office.
Yeah, but there's like guitars and like music posters and all kinds of paraphernalia.
Pretty much everything
around
in the office is of my doing and design, but she does use this just as much as I do. Yeah.
Wow. Love to see it.
So, and it's not even like, I got to be honest, I was hoping it might be a little pow day here, but there's no pow.
No pow.
In Connecticut. I want to get the kids. I rented skis for the season for the boys. They are eager to learn how to ski, which warms my heart so much. And I'm sure there's some decent man-made snow on the few tiny hills that we have here in Connecticut, which is the place to learn anyway. But I don't have a flake on my property right now.
How long does it take you to get to a ski lift in your car?
That, like, just of any kind?
Yeah, of like these beginner hills or like these places.
I think the closest beginner hill is a 40-minute drive.
Okay, that's not terrible.
It's manageable, yeah.
Like, Tripp and I can be in Boone in an hour, and there's, you know, Bobo, North Carolina snow up there, which we can play around in. So, okay, good to know.
You got to get on that board at some point soon here.
Dude, I'm like falling leaf, man. I'm ready. I mean, muscle memory, use it or lose it. I'm ready. I'm ready to shred. Besides, I got my drip field on the playlist. I mean,
you need to get one of those small portable speakers, really, you know, strap it to the backpack, crank that thing up to 9 volume, and just let everyone experience it. Because everyone loves that guy on the lift. Everyone loves that guy.
Oh, I'm sure they do, especially in Boone. Norlander, thank you for joining us. We will talk to you on Thursday, all right?
Sounds good, bud.
Good stuff. Check out Matt on CBS Sports HQ, obviously on Twitter, at Matt Norlander. He is also writing for CBS Sports. Download the app, by the way. Pretty legit app as far as sports app goes. I would know because I've got like 12 of them. So, good stuff. Tripp, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for the herdverts out there. For Norlander, I'm Hartzell. Talk to you later. See ya.